We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right, just after 7:05, Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. We will have more on our textual Money Talks in college football coming up next hour. One thing really quick that we want to get to before we take a breath from that. You know, how do you feel about this text, the Better You Today text line 55305? The fact that Phil Knight's money made the Ducks relevant is exactly why I despise them. They didn't earn anything, were mediocre for decades, but throw $100 million at them and they can finally win a game.
That's everything in business. When you invest money in things and they become successful, some businesses fail, others businesses don't. But it takes revenue to generate success. If you don't respect that, I get it. I have an issue with second generation wealth. That's a me thing. Guys that just live off mommy and daddy's money and try to pretend like they're successful. And then they try to talk at me or do something and say, "Oh, you haven't done anything." Okay, the Ducks still had to go out and play football. They still had to go out and win a football game and play in a couple national championship games and beat the Huskies for 12 straight years. They you know, you could just inject a ton of revenue into something, but you still go out and play the football games. I respect good football and good football coaches and good players. So no matter what, you could say the Swoosh is the brand. That is what made Oregon football, but you still had to go out and actually play the games. That's what's different about football. I can just be a big, popular brand and have generational wealth and throw crap against the wall and hope it sticks, but I don't care because I'm going to be rich forever.
And I think that every fan base would want that. If you had a billionaire...
Of course you would.
A billionaire booster.
Yes, you take it tomorrow.
And also what I feel is flawed in that is that do we forget that Phil Knight had that conversation after 1998, right?
Yeah.
And after a bowl game that they lost and he pulled everybody aside, he's like, what do we need to do to take this to the next level? Prior to that, I mean, 94 and 95, they went to the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's, and then he was like, what can I do to help us get to the next level?
Right.
Which is a pretty big deal when you get to a Rose Bowl and a Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
Prior to that.
What I've learned is that when someone says that, oh, you didn't make it because somebody helped you get there, every single one of us had somebody help you. Now, some of you've earned it from the ground up, and I applaud those of you that have worked your butt off and done everything you can, and no one's helped you yet. I believe that you'll get help. I mean, somebody has helped you get somewhere, from you and I getting a job to knowing somebody here. Yeah. It's all about your network. Well, Phil Knight is a network that has elevated Oregon to national brand, and that's part of life. We live that. That's as simple as it gets. Now, these other ones, like Alabama, they just have a big brand, a lot of money, and they continue to win. They're frighteningly good.
More on that coming up later. Right now, it's 7:07.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Feeling hot. Hey, the Oregon State Beavers pick up another transfer. My goodness, this time it's Addison Gums, a former four-star linebacker out of Stellar Prep, which is, let's call it what it is. It's a athletics department that has a school at it down in California. He went to Oklahoma, played in 4 games for the Sooners last year. He's an outside linebacker, defensive end, and he got injured before the season started and said, you know what? I'm transferring, and he goes to Oregon State.
Good on them. I wonder what was the connection with Oregon State.
It was corner Deshaun Wilson.
Okay, so he's got buddies there.
This is why teams take flyers on guys that, like, Deshaun Wilson is a good player, don't get me wrong. But he was a 3-star guy, but he came from stellar prep. That's why you want guys from Mater Dei and De La Salle and Bishop Gorman in stellar prep.
I'll take a 1-star if it gets me a couple 4-stars later. Oh, yeah, I don't like stars. Stars are a waste of time. Can he play or can he not? Well, hopefully he can.
He played 4 games as a true freshman at Oklahoma last year.
That's a good pickup.
This is the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Bryce Love is out for Stanford against UC Davis. And initially there was some panic in the streets about that. But this is more of a maintenance rest thing. He'll be ready to go next week against Oregon.
Yeah, most definitely.
Got to have those one, but...
Yeah, but he, what? That was a bit... No, I was going to say he had a very mediocre game versus San Diego State.
Yeah.
But really, really showed why Bryce Love is the best back in the country, if not the best. One of the best, but he is the best.
You know, that's the thing is that, like, they're saying, oh, well, this hurts his Heisman chances because this is a stat padding game.
Who cares?
No, it doesn't.
It's a Stanford running back. No one's ever going to get a Heisman from Stanford. We've had 3 guys now not get Stanford Heismans.
Yeah.
It is Toby interesting, Gerhardt, though. I don't feel
Andrew
like
Luck.
This is, we don't usually see this, though, where a maintenance day for a player in college. It's a little bit peculiar. I mean, do you think there's something more significant going on with him injury-wise at all?
No, I don't. I think that this is a coach that cares about his players' NFL future. You know, why take the hits when you
he's a significant part of their offense and their success this year. So a smart coach would go, take a break. What do I need? What are you going to win this week for Bryce Love on a Tuesday, Wednesday practice?
Oh, I totally agree. I just think it's rare. We don't see many coaches exercise this.
I think
this
it happens
thing.
More often than not, Buck. They just don't announce it.
I see what you're saying.
And oh, by the way, they enter the meat grinder after this week where they have at Oregon, at Notre Dame, and Utah, at Arizona State, Washington State, at Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. Rest him. Rest him.
Oh, hot, 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 hot. Hot, 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 hot.
Okay, this is a... We haven't talked about this. The Serena Williams blow up on the tennis official.
I know, that was crazy.
That was
justified or not? Did she overreact?
Well, yeah, she overreacted.
She took away from the one who beat her. I mean, what was her name?
Naomi Osaka. Yeah, so I will maintain this. Yeah. Serena would not have done that had she not been having her butt get kicked.
No, yeah, she was...
I agree.
She,
I agree.
She Which totally, makes it stink.
She totally overreacted. I think there are too many people are going after the official, though.
Yeah.
They do... Officials in tennis do go after... They penalize women far more sternly than they do men. Which is an issue, but it's not just Carlos Ramos. It is a tennis problem. And now, one of the guys who's a retired elite gold badge umpire, I don't know what that means, but he says that the fraternity of umpires in tennis are discouraged that the tennis association is not standing by their umpires. Well, fix your problem. Both deserve criticism.
All I know is I've seen a lot of dudes, like dudes get really crazy and stuff, and nothing's ever had a game taken away from them.
Yeah.
But I think that Serena took away from the championship, the one who beat her.
Yeah.
Which she still, I mean, she's the best female tennis player of all time.
You know what my favorite part of that rant was?
What?
When she said, I'm a mother. I wouldn't cheat. That's going to be my defense for everything.
I'm a
father. I cannot cheat at cards.
It's very emotional.
How dare you?
Yeah, she said I'd rather win or I'd rather lose than win with cheating.
You sure didn't act like it. Yeah.
She didn't like to lose, which
and then
quite
she
obvious.
And she said I wasn't receiving coaching from my coach's box.
And the coach,
and the coach
said,
goes, "Oh yeah, I was coaching her. Everyone
and
does
and everybody
it.
Coaches.
Everybody does it. Everybody does it."
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's cool.
The Padres own the Mariners. They won 2-1 last night over Seattle. That's, what, 3 straight wins over the Mariners?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Thank you. And one run wins. One run wins.
Coming back down to earth. I tried to tell Mariner fans these things even themselves out at the over the course of a year. You
tried to tell us.
You didn't listen. We have a new leader in the NL Central, though, as the Chicago Cubs are NL Central leaders with a 3-0 win over the Milwaukee Brewers, or they extend their lead out to 2 games. The Cardinals are 3.5 back in the NL Central, while the Braves, man, they're kind of shoring up that NL East. A win last night pushes their lead in the NL East to 6.5 games.
That's the most anemic division in baseball.
NL East?
Yes.
Does
nobody wants
for you.
It. Does nothing. New York, Philly. I mean, come on.
Well, Diamondbacks tighten things up in the NL West yet again as a win over the Rockies has their Rockies lead down to 1.5 over the Dodgers and 2.5 over the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. So that one's going to be coming down to the wire. Buck, are you still going to try and throw your Giants into that despite them being 12 games out?
Justify it.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
Marcus Wheaton, former Oregon State Beaver, released by the Philadelphia Eagles today.
Ooh, who needs a wide receiver maybe here up in the Northwest?
Wow. Oh, Seahawks.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
Other receiver news, Martavis Bryant is back with the Raiders. Just can't quit you. They traded for him and then released him, and then they signed him again.
When did they release him?
On cut day.
And when did they re-sign him?
The day after their first game. If only somebody had been telling us that happens all the time.
Oh, why do they do that? Guess who is not guaranteed his contract now is a week-to-week player. Well done, Oakland. John Gruden, well done.
That's what's hot and cool on the Fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling with more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver. You won't have to wait on Area, your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train. Mario Cristobal, Kyle Whittingham, Mike Leach, Chris Peterson, Clay Helton, all speaking on the Pac-12 coaches call yesterday. Jonathan Smith doesn't. 7:15 on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Why does this song remind me of romantic comedies from the 90s, the late 90s? Do you get that with this song?
It seems like it fits kind of with that like American Pie ilk and that type of genre movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
You know?
Tub Thumping.
Chumbawamba. That was my wife's first CD. Chumbawamba.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
God, that's every sorority frat boy song in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Everybody's hopping around with their solo cups.
Yeah. And I was sitting there, I was like, gosh, well, you bought your first CD pretty late.
This is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right there.
Yeah. You know where they take the... You take the ugly duckling and you make her into the pretty girl.
Yeah, you make her into the pretty girl.
She becomes popular. Yeah. When's that genre going
to
come back?
Please, I want it to come back.
It's going
to
boomerang back around.
Had Never Been Kissed was one of them.
Yeah. All right.
Feel
Summer
good.
Summer Catch.
Feel good.
All right. Anyways, that's your Mighty Mighty Boston's Minute here on The Fan. More valuable, that or the traffic report we do at the 15s? I'm going to say that.
Traffic guy.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
I don't know.
It's not by our choice, folks. No. We didn't do that.
I heard Scholes Ferry Road the other day.
Scholes.
That's different.
Where's that at?
I don't know. Probably near Scholes. Yeah. Okay. Coaches did the Pac-12 coaches call yesterday. And look at Jonathan Smith. Guy wins the game and all of a sudden he's too good for the coaches call. You know, he's got
some S to do.
No, they're getting ready for Nevada. He was the only coach that did a no-show. So, Beaver fans, we are not neglecting the Oregon State Beavers. It just needs to be reiterated. Jonathan Smith no-showed on the coach's call. Okay?
Uh-oh, he's going to get in trouble.
I actually will say this.
Say it.
Non-conference, Oregon State has been way more interesting and relevant than Oregon has during the non-conference.
So, it's all just go to Coach Smith's head?
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Too good for the conference call now.
My doppelganger would never do such a thing. All right. Mario Cristobal did talk, though, yesterday. He joined Dirt and Sprague, where he'll be joining them every single week on Tuesdays. And he talked about something that we have not seen a lot of separation in the first 2 weeks of the season. Six running backs getting carries. How long is this competition going to go out?
Well, we're going to keep turning it up on the running backs. I don't think you could let those guys for a second get comfortable. And those guys are by nature really good competitors. They are. They enjoy it. They understand why we're doing it. They understand how we're doing it.
Six backs in the system that have been getting carries in the first two games. When should we expect this thing to get pared down?
I think it's a very convenient situation that Oregon has such a lackluster first few games, but they have the luxury of being able to let those six backs fight it out, not only in training camp, but they're doing it now in the regular season. And the first three games of the year is going to be a six-man group. Come Pac-12 play, it's going to be down to three. And coach knows that, and he's doing a good job of giving those guys opportunities because somebody's going to end up standing out. I believe it's Tony Brooks-James.
Yeah, well, Tony Brooks-James is number one. Yeah, we know that.
Clearly.
But the splitting the carries, it's kind of just been this grab bag. And C.J. Verdell rushed for 100 yards against Portland State. But, you know, is it going to be Taj Griffin? Is it going to be Cyrus? Cyrus appears to be the short yardage back on the goal lines. It's going to be – it may be a grab bag that we continue to see for quite some time.
And I know that it was – after the game was already in hand, but Travis Dye looked pretty darn good too.
Yes, he does. He's shifting and quick.
I mean, I know he's a true freshman and he's got a lot to learn, but he looked like he's got a ton of talent.
You know,
and how nice is it that I'll say it again too, the redshirt freshman rule where these guys can get to play and they get a chance to get those reps. And if it is certain times throughout the year or early in the year, it's huge for their development.
Yeah, and you know, that the going back to that and what that is with Buck and what he's saying is, I was talking to somebody close to the program who's saying, you know, you're always looking for thunder and lightning, right? Mm-hmm. You want some shift. He goes, we have lightning and lightning and lightning and lightning.
A lot of fast guys.
You know?
Is there going to be somebody like a Royce Freeman that can take a pounding and give you 25, 30 carries? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be just a committee?
It might be, and that's probably going to continue. And it's not the only spot, too, because wide receiver also wide open, and Cristobal talked to Jordan Sprague about that as well.
We spread the ball around pretty good this past week, and I think 11 guys touched it on the receiving side. It gives us an opportunity to evaluate not only who can get the ball, but who can do something with the ball when they get in their hands. And, you know, who's lining up correctly, who's running the right routes, who's finishing plays with or without the ball in their hands. So I think we can benefit only from continuing to push this competitive situation that we have. And, you know, at some point in time, it'll streamline a little bit, but we don't want to do that yet.
Feel more comfortable about the running back position than wide receiver right now because nobody has really separated themselves. We know Tony Brooks-James is that guy who's number one in running back. Who's number one at receiver?
Jacob Breeland.
Who? Whom's?
Your tight end.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't hear you because Buck was speaking in my ear at the exact same time.
So
I was trying to listen to
those
you. But
dang producers get in the way of my dang show.
So Jacob Breeland is
that's who I
your
mean,
tight end.
Yeah. Slightly biased.
I'm going to tell you this. I think Tabari Hines, the transfer from Wake Forest, who got very little run week one against Bowling Green. You saw a package implemented for him. He may be the guy moving forward for them is the possession guy. But they're still looking for, is it going to be Jalen Redd, Dylan Mitchell, or Johnny Johnson?
If I had a concern offensively, it would be Justin Herbert's wide receiver crew and their ability to catch the football and be guys that can make plays for him. Who's going to be his safety blanket? Yeah. Who's going to be his whoobie that he can go throw it to? You have a whoobie?
Do you have a whoobie?
And
it usually is your tight end.
Well, it's going to be tight somebody that you can trust.
Who is whoobie? One guy that does not have a concern right now on the defensive side of the ball is Mike Leach in Washington State. They lose Hercules Mata'afa. They lose their defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch. And this defense is one of the best in the country through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, I think we have really good coaches. You know, I think our coaches do a tremendous job. And then I think our players, you know, we've got a good group of players that's improving. They're a work in progress, but I think they're getting better.
You know, that is one of the most impressive things is Alex Grinch leaves. He did such a good job. Tracy Clays comes in. And the defense has not missed a beat so far.
Coach sounds so excited to discuss defense, doesn't he? But he knows, and everybody else that's a Cougar fan knows, that your defense is going to be what's going to carry you to multiple wins this year. And that's kind of a priority for that. And they do have a couple veterans coming back. I mean, Peyton Pelur coming back is a huge get coming off the injury.
Kyle Whittingham has got a big matchup as the Utes take on Washington, and across the state from Wazoo, the Huskies defense is lights out yet again.
Absolutely sound in their schematics, you know, techniques, fundamentals, just across the board. They do things the right way. They're disciplined in what they do. They give up very few big plays. Personnel has been outstanding. I mean, every year they've got a bunch of guys who play hard and run to the ball.
What the defense is going to be good. I mean, 21 points they give up to Auburn, points to North Dakota. That is not the concern. Where the impressive part for me is their front seven. It lost a lot when you talk about their front seven.
Yeah.
And they seem to be, weird to say, they seem to be more stout up front without the high-end players like a Vita Vea or a
Well, it's hard. You still have KBB. Great gains there to be able to do that. I mean, the linebacking core with Kirvin, Ben Burr, Kirvin, and then Beavers, and you're just going to still have, you have Tavius Barlett, who's going to be playing more of the whip linebacker, their will linebacker. They have still solid front, and they're, of course, their secondary is the best. I mean, you could immediately make the argument the secondary is the most deepest in the country by far. The depth they have.
They're the best in Pac-12,
well,
for sure.
And Jimmy Lake has just done an amazing job of recruiting. It's just become a DB hotbed where everybody wants to go there.
One place that has not been a hotbed over the first couple of weeks is the offensive side of the ball, and Chris Peterson discussed their struggles there.
We're not where we need to be in terms of probably scoring points and moving the ball. That's probably the biggest concern. And we're still a work in progress, for sure, and it takes a while sometimes to get everybody clicking on that offensive page, and that's probably it.
You know, everybody will look at the 45-3 win and be like, that's what you do to a Big Sky school.
Mm-hmm.
But 17-0 at halftime, what's not clicking offensively for the Huskies?
I think it's Jake Browning right now. I think he's trying to press too much. I think he's doing a few things. The old Jake that he's had since his freshman year, these habits that he's dealing with, is trying to extend the play. His release still, I mean, arm strength's an issue, but their ability to run the football game with that's just going to be the biggest thing. They have to be able to run the football, and if they don't, it's Gaskin, and that's it. That's really, it's the key to everybody, but it's huge for the Washington Huskies to be able to run the football.
Offensive line seemed to hold together pretty well, despite the fact that they had injuries in key places, and they're replacing a lot, and they're pretty young up front. Is that part of what's not getting, I don't know, what's the other guy's name?
You lose Trey Adams on left tackle. You have Jackson Kirkland, who's a redshirt freshman, at right guard. You move your starting guard over to center. So there's a little bit of fluctuation already.
Is it time to panic at SC? Clay Helton on the gravity of the Texas-USC game.
It's a big game for both sides. It's a historical game for both fan bases. And, you know, it's something that I think is very special to both universities. So we look forward to having the opportunity to go down to Austin and compete against a team we got a lot of respect for.
If they lose that game, he knows.
He's in deep stuff.
He probably doesn't make it through the season, yeah? If they lose this game?
This is massive for Clay Helton.
Yeah.
Clay Helton's biggest win right now is the Rose Bowl in Penn State, but that is the University of Sam Darnold's.
USD?
Because without Sam Darnold and what they done with Max Brown 2 years ago, without Sam Darnold, Clay Helton would already been fired. I mean, Sam Darnold is the reason why Clay Helton is still coaching there.
Yeah.
It's terrifying to think if you're a SC fan or maybe not.
And JT Daniels needs to be that guy now.
I did not see any of that versus Stanford. There wasn't a magic moment at all. When you saw Sam Darnold play the first time he stepped on the field for USC, there was a couple, you went, whoa, JT Daniels. Mm.
Two games in, he's going to be big in game three on the road.
You never know. You can't count a kid out after one shot, but it's in Texas.
All right. There is already some rumblings, and with one of the coaches, new head coaches that went 0-7, rumblings that players have already had it. And big changes to the Seahawks defense already in week two. All right, we were just talking about Clay Helton and USC and JT Daniels. Kind of, he looks shaky, and yeah, he should. He's young. He's a true freshman quarterback. And this texter says, got to remember, JT should be a senior in high school.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Tua also 17 when he got there?
I do not know. I don't know. At Alabama?
But that's,
I don't know.
That's a fair quote, maturity. You understand it's difficult to be a college football, especially Division I at USC, but it shows you that USC did a terrible job recruiting quarterbacks. Like, they don't have anybody ready. I mean, I know when Sam Darnold leaves, could they have had a redshirt sophomore, somebody that they've had in the pipeline? Or I think this is a detriment to college football everywhere, is that quarterbacks don't like to wait. If you're a quarterback and you're a good one, you don't like the wait.
Well, also, remember, Mark Helfrich was criticized for having two consecutive years without having a quarterback at Oregon when he had to go to Vernon Adams and Dakota Prukup. Mm-hmm. And now he had to dip into the FCS levels, but in a time where it's more commonplace for a senior quarterback to grad transfer, you couldn't pick one of those up and find a guy to play, even if you don't have your full arsenal. I mean, they're really... should not be an excuse as to why you don't have a quarterback that's over the age of, you know, 18.
Yeah, you should have somebody, and maybe they do. They just, maybe they're not good enough. Maybe he wants to play. I think freshmen are controlled, especially at the quarterback position. Coaches are terrified that if they don't start the touted freshman early, that they could be missing on a Tua Tagovailoa.
That's true.
That's exactly what he's like. Oh, I didn't get that freshman in there and becomes a phenom. And you go, oh, because if he does pop, you look like the greatest coach in the world and he saves your job for two more years.
Yeah.
But if he goes bad, then you're, oh God, I guess we got to go to our sophomore or our junior. How many times have you seen a true junior just step in and do amazing things? When's the last time you've seen somebody that's already been in your system for a while come out of the woodwork? They don't. They're gone by now.
Yeah.
They don't get, nobody gets to say, hey, my junior year, I get to take over. It's just a different world at quarterback now. You're either a freshman and then you leave as a junior, or you come as a grad transfer senior because you were a disgruntled young man and now you left to go get your last year eligibility.
Yeah. Well, already we're seeing in the NFL, Shaquem Griffin was the story of the NFL, the combine, you know, getting drafted to Seattle and going to his play with his brother up in Seattle. You see the report yesterday that after playing only 41 of 74 snaps, Shaquem Griffin is probably going to lose a bulk of his snaps to Austin Calitro after one game and saying, all right, wasn't good enough for us.
That's film, don't lie.
Because I watched that game, and obviously we were highlighting
him. There's a couple coverage things that he didn't get to. I mean, look, he's a rookie. And he's already behind the eight ball because he only has one hand, which is amazing what he's able to do. And they gave him a shot out there, and he's going to be a very good linebacker. But film doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. If you get beat out and you want to give another shot, I mean, that's a lot to ask for a kid to come right out and play against Denver. And he made a few mistakes, and that's part of learning.
Pete Carroll's quote on it, Austin did pretty well, and Griff, well, he had some problems on some stuff. Mm-hmm. There were some things that happened to him that wasn't quite clean as we would have liked. He got fooled a couple of times, but he played hard and he played tough and all that. It's just his first game trying to figure it all out.
Sure.
So there's JT Daniels growing pains, Shaquem Griffin having his growing pains in the NFL too, which goes back to how impressive it is that those young guys that we talked about yesterday, the budding stars of the league, how those guys can come in right away and make that impact right off the bat.
Well, if you're lucky enough, there's a couple positions I don't think you can hide in. Linebacker's one that'll expose you pretty quick.
Is coaching one?
Can't hide with coaching.
Well, because Matt Patricia may be trying to hide with coaching. Lions coach Matt Patricia had a rough outing, losing by 31 to the Jets at home in his debut. And here is NFL Network's Mike Garofalo yesterday. And he's already saying this ship could be sinking.
I've been hearing some griping from veterans in the Detroit Lions locker room about the number of rules that Matt Patricia has put in place, about how hard he worked these guys in training camp. Now, I cautioned people. I said, look, I'm not going to jump to a conclusion, and I'm still not going to jump to a conclusion and say that this is going to be an utter disaster and Josh McDaniels part two and another branch on the Belichick tree that's going to wither and die. I'm not going there. But what I'm saying is, when you don't have the results, and when they're as bad as they were last night, you leave yourself very little leeway as a head coach, because your guys are going to say, well, wait a minute, we're being run harder than other teams. We've got more rules than other teams, and we're not getting the results. At least in New England, they get the results. So Matt Patricia, to be fair now, on his end, he's going to look at it and say, okay, well, who am I going to get that's going to buy in here? And do I have to jettison the guys who aren't? So just keep an eye on this situation here as it gets deeper into the season. If the things don't turn around on the field, just what you might be hearing from some of these veterans there.
Uh-oh.
Very early to go through this, but very typical. Extremely typical. Remember, a lot of these guys have been under Jim Caldwell, very soft-spoken coach, very player coach, completely different mentality. And you're going to get veterans. Remember what happened to Nick Saban when he went to Miami? What did Nick Saban bring to Miami immediately? A hard-nosed rules style of football that had to be this way. There is this way. There's not an option. Now in the National Football League, you got a lot of guys make a lot of money, and veterans get stuck in their ways, and they don't want to deviate off their path. When you make my training camp more difficult, you're an older veteran. You don't want to hit a bunch of young rookies all the time. You want to take breaks and save your body and extend your career. Matt Patricia's coming in guns blazing. This is how we do it. Again, this is what happens when you get a Belichick knockoff. They all think they can do the things that work in New England. Suddenly, they don't. It takes years to develop that. I'm not saying Matt Patricia shouldn't. He needs to be him. He needs to do that. But you're going to get massive pushback. And this might be a year where Detroit wins four or five games and Patricia ends up gutting his roster midway and then even to the offseason.
You know, this is something that just has popped in my head recently when thinking about Bill Belichick disciples and that. Bill Belichick was in New England with Bill Parcells, right?
Yeah.
He leaves and Pete Carroll, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, hey guys, you know, we all know how Pete is.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in for 2 years and then they bring Belichick back. Bill Belichick was able to instill this kind of hard-nosed approach because the guys that were there before saw the successes they had with Parcells. They were still able to stick around long enough to go through 2 years with Pete. Mm-hmm. And then Bill was able to go, that doesn't work, and actually point at something and say, that doesn't work. This is how it worked before. And that is a big key to his success, is that he kept those veterans around, the Lawyer Malloys, the Willie McGinnis, the Teddy Bruschis, that saw both sides of Parcells, Carroll, and then back to Belichick. His assistants that break off, they don't have that luxury.
Two simple words work in football. Number one is discipline. You have to have it. It's essential, and consistency. Those are the two things that work in, probably works in every realm, but in sports and football, if you don't have the discipline of what it takes to work harder than somebody with a little bit of consistency, the same message being brought every day, it can be monotonous. Who loves listening to Coach Belichick talk? But you know what also is consistent? Winning. And winning works when you're consistent and disciplined. That carries all sports. So you want to have the magic potion, coaching youth, high school, whatever you're coaching, have a little bit of discipline, because men and boys and all that in this kind of sport, in the man sport of football, you love to follow a leader that's disciplined.
You also have those two things. They lead to trust.
Yeah.
You got to have trust,
mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, those things, if you have consistency, that's going to bring trust to the process and the discipline of it, man.
Well, you have to earn it. Trust is earned.
Yeah.
Trust is earned. I can't tell you that there's a lot of coaches that are disciplined and consistent, but when you get that trust part, it comes with winning. And that's why once you win something and you establish it, it's really, really hard to fall off.
And that's why I say those two things kind of lead to trust, yeah, in that they trust the process in New England now because they were able to have that consistency and that discipline, mm-hmm, of it. And that's why it works for so long for these head coaches. Yeah. All right, the big breakup is here. How it all went wrong for DJ and Paulina. 7:46 on the Fan. Okay, before we get to the hard-hitting news of the day, this text comes in, Better You Today text line 55305. Cam, as a former player, do you feel that because players make more than head coaches, there's an authority struggle with the income disparity?
It's a really good question, and I can say it as it's really specific to the type of person. I think that everybody worked with somebody or had somebody on a team. That person just makes more than you, but you would never know that because they don't let a dollar value get in the way of leadership. Leadership is just you either buy into it or you're not. I have this thing is that when I don't respect, or this is a me thing, when I ever developed it, I knew immediately when I followed a coach. Like, they just had an it factor that I looked at and went, it wasn't just because they had a bunch of Super Bowl rings. It was how they made me a better athlete and a better football player. Matt Patricia needs to convince his guys in that locker room that he is there for them. And they need to understand that. Veterans, you are stuck in your ways. You're at work. Someone comes in and changes one little small little thing in your work. Just watch the people panic. We have 3 o'clock staff meetings now. Oh my God. Can you know that happens. Matt Patricia changed an entire culture. I've told you this before, is that dollar amounts have no bearing in the locker room. None. When you walk in there, everybody is together, 53 guys. Now, certain guys will have a little bit of hierarchy because they're veterans. But when your coach comes in, if you have them and have them behind you, it won't matter what dollar amount makes. It doesn't. Zero.
So good coaches, doesn't matter.
Coaching is everything.
Okay.
And then you need some dudes.
Can we get to the real news of the day now?
Yeah, let's get to it.
That was really good. I think that's a question a lot of people have because that's the thing we always hear about Nick Saban, why he didn't work in the NFL is because he finally found some guys that were like, dude, I make more money than you. That's been a long
criticism. If Nick Saban would have stuck it out, he would have worked. He just didn't. He didn't have the patience.
Yeah.
He didn't want to deal with it.
The big news in the sports world is what is going on with the great one's daughter in Dustin Johnson.
Oh, this is the big news.
Paulina Gretzky has scrubbed her Instagram of any photos of Dustin Johnson, but kept the Tiger one. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Forcing Dustin Johnson to issue a statement yesterday that said every relationship goes through its ups and downs, but most importantly, we love each other very much and are committed to being a family. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your love and support, he wrote on Twitter. It's been a rough week for old DJ there. He loses his world number one ranking in golf, and then his fiance and baby mama ends up scrubbing him from Instagram. It's brutal.
Here's a telltale sign. You know that they've been engaged since 2013.
Oh,
that's a 5-year engagement. Does that sound like a non-committal relationship to you or not?
Oh man, I don't know if I've ever heard of an engagement. A 5-year
engagement?
That's like the Pam it's from like the
Pam
Office.
And Roy. It's like, exactly.
It's like wedding singer.
Yeah, Pam and Roy were engaged for a long time on The Office, and we saw how that ended. No, I did not.
Mm-hmm.
I also, now my favorite part about these things is that the rumors start to swirl. Who's the person involved? And they're saying that it's some gal who caught the golfing bug at their club in Beverly Hills. She's no Paulina Gretzky, I can tell you that, but she's pretty hot. And apparently she was hanging around the golf club because her boyfriend is a member there.
Uh-huh.
And old DJ and her started hooking up, and that's what led to this thing. I love TMZ.
Do you think Pauline is kind of a little bit of a crazy?
You
think she might have a little bit of that? She give you that? Did you ever see the picture of him being interviewed at the golf tournament? She's standing. He's getting interviewed by the young lady at the U.S. Open. He's down having the interview, and there's a screen, and there's a shot of Paulina standing on the balcony in the back corner with her arms crossed, staring him down, being interviewed by an attractive young lady during the U.S. Open.
Oh, really?
In the backdrop. It's kind of creepy.
That is scary.
Always watching you.
I'm watching you.
She's got to be a little crazy, don't you think? A little possessive. Mm-hmm.
But if he cheated
she pushed him down the stairs at the Masters, for God's sakes.
No. He slipped on the stairs.
No, she pushed him.
Like, okay, that's the thing, too, is Dustin Johnson used the excuse that I fell down the stairs.
In bad socks.
Mm-hmm. But if he did, in fact, cheat on Paulina Gretzky, does he get his butt kicked by Wayne?
Mm.
Or does Wayne Gretzky have one of the goons from his heyday in hockey go and beat him up for him? Because the great one never gets into a fight. It's always the goon.
If your daughter's crazy, that's a you problem. But if you've been together since 2013 and haven't popped the question, or haven't not popped the question, but sealed the date, then there's more to this story.
All right. This is true. All I'm hearing is Paulina Gretzky's available.
That's all I'm hearing.
Well, she is.
Slide into some DMs, I guess.
I think all of us really got a shot with Paulina.
We all do. Well, we're married.
Well, it didn't stop Dustin.
Buck's engaged. Buck, you're going to be engaged for like 10 years, right?
No, I'm getting married in May.
Oh.
I take it our invites are in the mail.
Yeah. We haven't sent anything out yet, fellas.
All right.
Private jet. I want a private jet.
Well, you know what
better
could be
serve
great.
Prime rib.
Wow.
These are my demands.
Sounds like Cam won't be coming to the wedding.
By the way, Cam has demands when he goes to a game, too.
I do have demands.
You have to have a proper tailgate, and he has to sit in a luxury suite.
I didn't say I had to. Says you better have a proper tailgate, though.
Yeah, that is true. You definitely need to have
that. You can't invite me to a tailgate and only have nachos and cheese dip. That's against the rules.
You know what we're going to go here with?
Sure.
Ryder Cup. Single Tiger. Ooh. Single DJ.
Tiger is not single, by the way. Tiger has a girlfriend now for, I think, over a little over a year.
Look me in the eyes. I'm going to say this one time.
He's not married.
Tiger is always single.
Tiger might be always single.
Especially when he's in France with Dustin Johnson.
Mm.
They're going and tearing it up. And they're going to just wreck shop at the Ryder Cup together.
This text, better you today text line. I'll take intellectual and good conversationalist over hot body and crazy any day.
Mm. All right, that's your brain talking.
It's your brain talking. It's not your other brain talking.
Hey, we do it every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. It's time for the Northwest Nugs on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.